Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you, Lord. Lord, I'm just asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to finish off this first chapter with verses 16 through 24. And I am just so excited about this message because it's all about Paul the Apostle, how God gave him boldness. God gave him discernment. God gave him and equipped him to exactly what he needed for such a time that he was called during this period of time, at least 2,000 years ago. And it was because of Paul the Apostle and his determination to get the gospel out. You and I are recipients of that grace. Praise God. You and I can glean off now the Word of God through the power and the anointing of God that was upon Paul the Apostle. And I'm so very thankful because many of his writings and his epistles are fully anointed with truth. And there is no discrepancies in the Word of God. And it's for our edification. It's for our discernment. It's for our character to be built up to live a godly life, especially in the culture that we live today. So, my friends, I need your attention on the screen right up here. It will go there right now. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Paul Preached by Faith. Paul preached by faith. Praise God. Praise God. And I don't know if you can hear an ambulance in the background right now where I'm at, but I believe there is an urgency for us believers to continue to do the will of God. And so in Galatians 1, 16 through 24, the Word of God reads, and here we go. To reveal his Son in me, that I might what? Preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Praise God. Verse 21. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Now look at this in verse 22 through 24. And I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. So, my friends, what's that all about? It's all about Paul being obedient to the call. And my friends, before we start expounding the scriptures, I want to encourage you that God has called you no differently than how he called Paul. That's right. In the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. You and I, hallelujah, God wants to use to the fullest, especially in the days that we live in. We live in this cancel culture. We live in a culture right now that is so evil and it's so wicked. It's so violent. And there needs to be an opposite voice to that. There needs to be a voice of praise and hope and mercy and grace, which only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we are called for such a time as this, to be a light on top of a hill. We are called to be a difference maker in the name of Jesus. We are called to win our family, our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers. That's right. Many have gone astray, even that started out in the church. But we are to preach the gospel. We are to minister to them. We are to sow into their lives. Can I get an amen? You and I are the called out saints of God. And for those of you who are walking in the will of God, there is blessings, there is favor, there is anointing, there is grace, there is mercy, there is God's love. Let me tell you, we have all the benefits. Hallelujah. Walking in according to the will of God. And so, my friends, we need, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to be like Paul, because Paul preached by faith. Oh, yes, he did. He preached by faith. And so let's now turn right now to verse 16. Let's break this down right now. Let's go. To reveal his son in me that I might, what, preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? You see, Jesus sent Paul to the Gentiles, and we get that. And he sent him because he was the persecutor of the church. And what I love about God is whatever you expect of God to do certain things, he does sometimes the opposite. You see, what he does, God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Oh, that's right. That's right. Listen, you and I, who were called, who have been chosen by God, to our family, friends, and neighbors, and those who know us, it was kind of like foolish in their eyes. We were all at one time fools. Can I get an amen? And yet God still called you, and he called me. For what? To use us mightily. Look what we read here in the book of Acts right here. Acts 9. Look at this. In Acts 9, 15 through 16, look at this. It says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wow. Wow, saints. You see, Gentiles were the non-Jews, which we all know, whether in nationality or in religion. In Paul's day, Jews thought of all Gentiles as heathens. Oh, that's right. We were considered dogs back then. The Jews avoided Gentiles as unclean, unclean. Oh, that's right. And believing that contact with Gentiles brought them spiritual corruption. And saints of God, although Gentiles could become Jews in religion by undergoing circumcision and by following the Jewish laws and customs, they were called proselytes. And they were never fully accepted. Why? Because real Jews know that, you know what? I'm going to say it in layman's terms. They're just wannabe Jews. Okay, you get that? Let's move on. And so, saints of God, many Jewish Christians had difficulty understanding that the gospel enabled both Jews and Gentiles to have equal standing before God. But God planned to save both Jews and Gentiles, praise God. And he had revealed this plan through the Old Testament prophets, and he had fulfilled it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. We always got to look back. Always look back, so that we can look ahead. Let's look at this scripture right here in Genesis. Look at this. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, that included our family, your family. Praise God. Look what Isaiah 46:10 says. Look at this. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I want you to catch that. God knew before the foundation of the world. He knew all the apostles, all the prophets, all the patriarchs. But here's where it gets really good. He knew you and he knew me. And he called us. Even when we were in our most corrupt state of mind, God found fit to save you and I. Can I get an amen in the house? What a blessing to understand this. Can I get an amen? Look what else Isaiah said here in another verse of scripture. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations. Look at this. To Tarshish and Pul and Lud, who draw the bow, and to Baal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among who? The Gentiles. See, this was already foreordained, saints of God. This was in God's mind, hallelujah, to save you and I. Thousands of years later, God went through the highways and the byways. Oh, that's right. He went through Logan Heights. Yeah, that's right. He went to National City, Old Town. Oh, that's right. Come on. He went to Eastside, San Diego. He went everywhere. He went to Cedro. He went to Otay. Oh, yeah. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. He went through all the highways and the byways, and he searched us out, and he saved us for such a time as this. Praise God. Somebody got to give God praise and glory. Why? Because he did it all by himself. Hallelujah. We cannot say, oh, look where I'm at now and look what I did. No, we were all wretched and God saved us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Look at this in the book of Acts right here. Look at this. In Acts 13, 46 and 47. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Aren't you so thankful, saints of God? Hallelujah. That the Jews kind of like said, no, we don't want this. And salvation came to us. Look at verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be what? For salvation to the ends of the earth. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else it says here in the book of Acts. But declare it first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that's us, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works benefiting repentance. That is the key. And this is what churches are not teaching anymore. They're not teaching their congregants to repent, to turn from their sin, turn their back on sin, and turn to God and receive God and ask God to help them to change their life, because we cannot change our life on our own. Yes, that's right. Some of us came, not me, but some of us came through 12-step programs. I'm here to let you know there's only one step that's needed, and that one step is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Praise God. God will deliver you. God will set you free. God will bust the chains. God will dispel the darkness in your life. He'll fill you with the light of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. God wants to do all these marvelous things in your life, but you got to yield. You got to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to repent of your sins and come to him boldly, but yet humbly before the throne room of grace and cry out for mercy. Cry out for mercy. Look what it says in the book of Romans right here. Romans 11, 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Praise God. Paul was all about God's business. Look what it says also here in Romans 15, 16. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. You get that? That the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in Ephesians right here, 3 and 8. And to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise God, praise God. And then Paul wrote in First Timothy, look at this, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Praise God, praise you. Aren't you so blessed, saints? You see, Paul's personal encounter with Jesus was so compelling that no further confirmation was required. Paul did not rush out to consult with anyone else, but doctrine, theology, the Old Testament scriptures, or the specifics of the gospel message. Repeating the thought was in verse 12 when you go back. You see, saints, Paul emphasized that his authority did not come second-handed. Oh, no, it didn't. The Judaizers were attacking Paul's authority by saying he could be no more than a student of the apostles. But Paul never even spoke to any of the apostles about the gospel until 3 years after his conversion. His understanding of the gospel message had come from God himself. Praise God. Praise God. So let's keep on moving. Let's move to verse 17 of Galatians chapter 1. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to where? To Damascus. Praise God. Praise God. Paul was a traveling brother. Paul loved, he loved to travel. You see, saints of God, the 12 apostles were apostles before Paul became an apostle. But beyond that, there was no difference. No difference now between them. And when he finally did go to Jerusalem to meet with the church leaders, he went as an equal. He didn't say, look at me. Because in the kingdom of God, my friends, there is no big eyes and little U's. Can I get an amen? And so the other apostles recognized him as such. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, if someone approached you or sat by you or started speaking and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, you will discern and feel the presence of God from that person. Oh, yes. I remember Bishop Trout, Joel's father, Raymond Trout. Man, he could sit right next to you and you'll feel the anointing. It's just flowing from his being. Praise God. And so, my friends, although the book of Acts doesn't seem to allow time for this retreat in Arabia, here Paul explained that he went away for 3 years in order to spend time alone with God. And this was vital for the newly converted Jewish Pharisee and persecutor of Christianity. You see, my friends, Paul was not converted. He was converted by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he needed time to rethink his former position against Christianity. Oh, that's right. In light of the truth of the gospel that had been revealed to him. Now, during this interim, Paul probably studied the scriptures, prayed, and thought about the meaning of Christ's crucifixion and the resurrection in relation to the Old Testament that he knew so well. He knew that so well. You see, God revealed to Paul the meaning of the gospel. And from Paul's time of study, we today, saints of God, have the New Testament letters that focus on explaining God's plan, especially the doctrinal book of Romans. Paul's point in explaining this itinerary was to show that he formed his theology not from consulting with any other believers, but alone with God's guidance. This is why it's important to spend time with God, because there are sometimes you read scriptures that sometimes you don't understand. But when you're spending time with God, God will illuminate the Word of God, and it was always there in something that you just couldn't see, but it was always there. And so, my friends, after his time in Arabia, Paul later returned to the city of Damascus. Oh, that's right. He was always moving. And although the sequence of events making up this part of Paul's life appears clear and fitting into the chronology of the book of Acts, presents some challenges. Oh, that's right. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, did not mention a 3-year time period similar to Paul's account. The primary accounts covering this time period are in Acts 9:1-31. I need us to go there, saints of God. We need to understand the book of Galatians, to understand any of the epistles. We must go back to the book of Acts and look at the history of Paul's journey to comprehend why he was sent to the Gentiles. And so Acts 9, 1 through 31 is the chronology. It's all in order. Look at this, saints of God. I need you to see this. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In Acts 9, 1, 31, look at this. Then Saul of Tarsus, remember, he was Saul of Tarsus, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, that was the name of the born-again church at the time, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Look at this. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Look at this. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Look at verse 7. And then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. They heard God's voice too. Wow, wow. Look at this, saints of God. Man, this is amazing, isn't it? Look at this. Then, in verse 8, then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Look at this. Verse 10. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him in verse 11, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. I'd be praying too if I was blind. How many at home would be praying too? Look at this. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. What? To bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias is hearing this from the Lord. Verse 17. And now Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Look at this. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. In verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? Let me just pause there. I would think no differently, because this man was a tyrant. He was a bully. He was a murderer, killing the saints of God. I would question it too. But we need to understand God's grace in this, why God saved him and used Paul mightily in the New Testament. Let's go back. Let's go back. Look at this. Verse 22. But Saul increased all the more in strength, confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night. What? To kill him. Look at this in verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through a wall in a large basket. And when Saul had become, look at this. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And they did not believe that he was actually a real disciple. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him in and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Look at this. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And verse 31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Praise God. See, you had to be reminded of Saul of Tarsus' story, who became Paul the Apostle. And while we're studying in the book of Galatians, we understand he was sent by God to preach to the Gentiles. Now, saints of God, the following that I'm going to show you presents a suggested chronology. Let's look at this. Let's look at this right here. Number one, he was on his way to Damascus to imprison Christians. Saul was confronted by Jesus Christ and converted. We read that. Praise God. Journeying into Damascus, Paul waited until he was contacted by who? Ananias, who prayed for his healing and arranged for his baptism. Praise God. Praise God. Look at three. Paul began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues of Damascus. He left clear evidence of his conversion before he went into Arabia. Praise God. Praise God. So there was a 3 years of rest for him. Look at this. Number four. Paul retreated into Arabia. And this retreat into solitude consolidated and integrated the central change in his life with the rest of his experience and training. Praise God. Look at number five. 3 years passed during that time. Paul left Damascus twice. First, to spend time alone in Arabia. Second, to avoid plotters against his life and visit Jerusalem. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul's escape from Damascus fits better at the end of the three-year time period than shortly after his conversion. The Pharisees were probably upset by Paul's desertion from their ranks and the effect that he had their numbers within the city after a while. And so we're going to now move on to verse 18. Praise God. Then after 3 years, look at this. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain with him for 15 days. Did you catch that, saints of God? For 15 days. You see, Paul's visit to Jerusalem was his first as a Christian. This was where the church began, and this was where some of the apostles lived and worked. Specifically, Peter, whom Paul went to see. Paul explained that he wanted to visit with Peter, and he did not get instruction from Peter, nor was he commissioned by Peter. While Paul was not mentioned in the reason for the brevity of the visit, which was 15 days, we are told by Luke that the opposition had plans in motion to kill Paul. And so, my friends, perhaps because of his concerns for his life, as well for the ongoing safety of all the believers in Jerusalem, Paul was given safe conduct, praise God, by the believers to Caesarea, where he set out toward his home in Tarsus. And so let's move on to verse 19 and 20. But I saw none of the other apostles except James and the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends, that he spoke the truth in love? That Paul was never ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And to further repudiate the Judaizers' claim that Paul needed the 12 apostles' instruction and approval, Paul pointed out that during his time in Jerusalem, the only other apostle he met was James. Paul's intention to meet with Peter implies a self-perception of equality with the apostle who has acknowledged as the leader among Jesus' disciples. You see, my friends, Paul planned an apostolic summit with Peter, but there was no general apostolic meeting to confirm Paul, no official gathering to approve his new convert and missionary. Instead, Paul talked only with Peter and James, the Lord's brother. Praise God, praise God. So, let's move on to verse 21 as we're coming in for a close. After I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, praise God. Paul, as I mentioned, traveled, praise God. Paul's arrival in Jerusalem had caused real problems. His preaching stirred up a hornet's nest of opposition. Paul's life was always in danger, and many of the believers were hesitant to accept his roadside conversion. His presence may have also caused added persecution for other believers, and those who do not accept Paul were committed to keeping him alive. Praise God. So Paul was urged to leave after only 15 days, and his departure eventually took him to his hometown of Tarsus in Cilicia. And on his way, while the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, Paul most likely continued preaching the gospel. And these small details serve to emphasize Paul's claim of direct authority from Jesus, apart from the equal authority of those in Jerusalem. Praise God. You see, my friends, in the remote areas Paul mentioned, he had no opportunity to receive instruction from the apostles or to even have his ministry overseen by them. Thus, he was not part of the Judean authority structure. He wasn't. And so, we're going to move on now to verse 22. And it says, "And I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea," look at this, "which were in Christ." He was unknown, but yet he came boldly. He came boldly. And although Paul was known to the Christians in Jerusalem at this time, because of both his personal visit and his brief ministry right over there in Jerusalem, the churches in Judea outside the city limits of Jerusalem didn't know Paul personally. And Judea was the name of the Roman district where the city of Jerusalem was. There were undefiable groups of believers meeting in towns to come against Paul. Wow. So let's move on to verse 23. "But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." And this is where I got the message for this topic tonight, saints of God, that Paul, he preached by faith. He preached to people that he never met before. Saints of God, this is what God is looking for you and I for such a time as this. We're going to come across people that maybe for the first time you have met them. Or maybe they're an acquaintance. Or maybe someone introduces you to other people. But it's time. It's time now to ask God, "Oh God, give me something to say that I might interject you and talk about you. Lord, open up a crease and a crevice that I might slip in and start speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. Oh, that's right, saints of God. Paul was unknown to many of the churches in Judea. And yet they recognized the message he preached. And it glorified God. Praise God. It glorified God because it was Paul making the point that his authority and ministry were recognized by people who have never seen him before. Praise God. Praise God. And yet the Galatians had met with him, listened to him, and believed his message, only to turn around and doubt him. Wow. The Judean Christians heard what people were saying, perhaps as the Galatians had. And the one who used to persecute believers was now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. Isn't that something? Once again, this is God choosing the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And how many of us were no different than Saul of Tarsus? How many of us before God saved us from this life of debauchery? How many of us persecuted God with our mouth? Bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ would come out. How many of us defied the law of God And we didn't care about the scriptures. We didn't care about God and the holy things of God. No. But yet God had mercy. God had grace. God knocked us off our beast. And he flipped our heart to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you so blessed that God took time out to save you? Listen, I'm going to go on record to say this. If God didn't come 33 years ago for me, I wouldn't be here alive. I was so caught up in drugs and alcohol. I was caught up in all kinds of manner of wickedness. And yet God, in his foreknowledge, before even spoke the world into existence, he already knew my name. And guess what? He already knew your name. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on now. Let's move on to the final verse in verse 24. And they glorified God in me. Wow. Wow. They glorified God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the Jewish Christians in Judea were rejoicing and glorifying God because of Paul, his conversion, his message, his ministry. And how ironic that the Judean Christians had given Paul full status and recognition without ever seeing or hearing him. Praise God. But the Galatian Christians, who had no reason to doubt Paul or his message, were beginning to join the Judaizers and thus to undermine Paul. They needed to cast aside their doubts, get back to the truth, and get on with what God wanted them to do. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know, we have no more time. Time is running short. I don't know if you can hear in the background that there's another siren. And how ironic, it's not a coincidence that we hear this siren in the background going off right now. It's almost like perfect timing. But I'm here to let you know, soon and very soon, Jesus is coming again. Oh, that's right. You see these clouds right behind me? He's coming in the clouds. He's coming in the clouds. And he's going to take each and every one of us out of here. Oh, that's right. This is the time to get right with God or get left. This is not a political slogan. I hope you know that. What do I mean by getting right? That means get your life together. Repent of your sins. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and God will save you. God has done that for me. He wants to do it for you if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But all the believers that are looking for his return, these are the promises that God's going to keep in his word. Last Sunday, I spoke about the promises of God. Well, here's another one of them right before us. Let's look at this for a moment. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? Listen, my friends, the next greatest event that's going to take place is when Jesus comes for his church. And Paul describes it in another verse of scripture to the Corinthians, that it's going to be so fast, it's going to be faster than a twinkling of an eye. And if you do a study on the twinkling of an eye, it's actually faster than the speed of light. I don't have time to go into the scientific detail, but we can see this in the Word of God clearly. Let's go here. Let's look at this. Now, this I say in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be what? Raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God! It's all clear in the Word of God, my friends. But I'm here to let you know that if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never repented of your sins, you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise to live and to rule in you and to guide you. When Jesus comes in the clouds, and that hasn't yet taken place, what you're about to see right now, don't let this happen to you. Let's take a look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
That's always going to be the million-dollar question, my friends. Are you ready? Are you ready to be raptured out of here when Jesus comes for his church? Listen, I'm going to show you a verse of scripture on how you can get your heart right. But it has to be scriptural. It has to be from the Word of God. It cannot be anything else but what God says in his word to do. And it's found right here. Look at this. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. "Then Peter said to them, repent." That means turn to God and turn from your sin. "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." Remission means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed to know that? Praise God. Praise God. Well, listen, I'm going to give those that are watching right now an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's tuned in to pray with me, to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him your whole life, and he will give you eternity. It's that simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to get this. You know, little children believe this a whole lot faster than some adults. Some adults, they want to analyze it. Where a little child will come in their childlike faith and receive Christ. But if that's you right now and you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you right now to bow your heart and your head and to pray this simple prayer by faith. Let's do this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. And if that's you, look at down below. That's our website. That's our website right there. Please log on. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you to a church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so I am so thankful to come into your living rooms this evening. And so before I sign off, I want to leave you the benediction. And the benediction goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to thank you for joining us. Also down below is our website. Those of you are so faithful, who continue to support our ministry. Well, donations are deeply appreciated. My friends, we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10 for worship and praise and the Word of God. And so, God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the